We are so thankful for that river this morning. The Lord has provided for us. I thank the Lord that, you know, the water's precious enough that if it was a water pump, it'd be worth it to get out there and pump that water. If it was a fire hydrant and we had to figure out a way to get it unlocked and get the hose on there, and it'd be worth it to do that. But I thank the Lord that He said it was a river. It's flowing for us this morning. Do we want to jump in? Do we want to just take what the Lord has given us and receive it and allow it to refresh our lives and nourish us? It's there for us if we want to. So thank the Lord for that this morning. Have a little message here we feel like the Lord has given us. We want to share it with you. Before we do, let's bow our heads for a moment. Dear God, we thank you for your word. We thank you for that river. It's such a blessing, so refreshing, a river with no end, dear God. We thank you for that. And we pray that by your Spirit, this is your word, we are not able to deliver it the way that it should be unless you, by your Spirit, come and give guidance and direction. Or we're also not able to receive it unless your Spirit help us and write it on our hearts. So please have mercy, and by your Spirit, lead and guide, direct, and help us to receive what you have for us this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, we want to talk today about the dividing line. Maybe we'll write this up here. And, you know, in my heart, you know, it says, well, let's just not talk about my heart. Let's talk about God's heart a little bit. It said, God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. You know, the Lord's not one who's wanting to draw some kind of line and make sure he has a balance. He wants there to be just as many lost as there are saved, or there are this many lost, or anything like that. The Lord's not willing that any should perish. He desires that everyone could have His salvation. You know, there's going to be a dividing line, though. And the blessing, the encouragement this morning is where we stand is all about our choices. It's not about something that God's decreed and this is the way it's going to be. And that you're going to be lost. It's not even about the fact of, you know, right now I may be standing in a place where I've made good choices in recent past. And the Lord has blessed me, and I'm walking with the Lord. You know what? I might be standing in a place where this morning I'm looking at some choices I made, and I'm like, you know what? I'm not really where I need to be. The Lord's not willing that any should perish. He's not looking to try to rob you of your choice at some point in life. The choice is there for you no matter where you stand today to choose to be on the Lord's side of this dividing line. It's His desire for you to be there, but there is a line that there will be. But you know, it comes down to this. So how's it going to divide? It comes down to the faith we have. And we want to share with you, we want that to be the sentence. That's the kind of the core message that the Lord's trying to get to us. But we feel like the Lord's given us some things to explain what that means. Because somebody can take that and miss it entirely. But it really comes down to my faith this morning. Am I willing to have faith? You know, the word faith means a lot. It encapsulates a lot. But it carries with it a willingness to believe in God and who He is. And to believe He's a rewarder of everyone. A rewarder of those that diligently seek Him. This is that the Lord gave us that scripture. I could give you definitions, but the Lord gave us that scripture to tell us what is faith. If it's going to come down to faith, then what does that mean to me? It means that I'm willing to believe there's a God. That this world isn't about me. That there's somebody higher than me that I need to say, you know, in all of my life, I need to consider what He thinks about my life. And where He thinks my life needs to go. You know, if I really believe there's a God, then that's how I should be living my life. pray and asking God, help me to consider him in my ways. But then also with the knowledge that as I do this, Lord, your desire for me, no matter what things begin to look like in my life, your desire is to reward me. Now, if this morning, if I had in my pocket $1 million and I had 100, and you knew that I had both, and you worked hard at something for me, and I had the free choice to give you one or the other, and I handed you the $100, what would you think? I mean, $100 is $100. But you had something else in your pocket that you could have given me. I sure wish I could have got that. This morning, the Lord holds in his pocket eternal life, eternal salvation, eternal worth, eternal blessings that don't just wait for us in heaven. But if he's willing to give those things to us, can bless our hearts right now in a way that all the riches of this world can't take care of. You can have all the riches in the world and there's a certain amount of peace as the world gives, but it falls apart. There's a lot of people right now, things happening in the world, and they may have had a lot of things, but there's some things falling apart for them right now. That's not something that's new. That's the truth of the peace that the world gives. From the beginning of time, it falls apart. So why would the Lord work to try to give us that when he knows he's got something way better in his pocket that he wants to give to us? And part of faith is taking that in and understanding so that then we're willing to allow faith to work in our life, because that's what we want to talk about now is, okay, so how does faith work? You know, do you have faith this morning? I want to put 5 things on the board. All right? And I want to ask you, do you have faith to believe? You know, in Hebrews, the 3rd chapter, in the 19th verse, there's a verse there we want to pick up. And it's speaking of a group of people, and there was a promised land given to them. And there was a point they came to, and they did not have the faith to believe. All right? And it says here in the 19th verse, so we see that they could not enter in because of unbelief. And I want to look back at that story now. It's found in Numbers, the 13th chapter and the 14th chapter. And we're not going to read all of these verses. It would take, I don't believe that's what the Lord would have for us this morning. But we're going to kind of point out some things as we look at this story of these people that couldn't enter in because of unbelief. All right? Numbers, can you pray for me? Pray, Lord, help us to get this out the way you gave it to us. And Numbers, the 13th chapter. And this is where the children of Israel, when they left Egypt and they went through the wilderness, you know, they didn't wander for 40 years in the wilderness at first. That's important to understand. They had a little bit of a path that they went through there to get up to the promised land. But they had gotten there to the promised land, all right? And they're sitting there on the other side. And the Lord spake unto Moses there in the first verse, and it says, send thou men that they may search the land of Canaan, which I give unto the children of Israel. Do you have faith to believe this morning? You know, I can have the kind of faith this morning that when, and there were some people here who had this kind of faith, that when the Lord says, I want you to go look at this situation that I'm going to give to you, that I can have faith that whatever I'm about to go see, the Lord just made me a promise. He said he was going to give this to me. So I'm just going to look at this situation, and as I begin to look at this situation, it may look daunting, it may look rough, it may look all kinds of things, but the Lord said he was going to give it to me. Do I have faith to believe this morning? All right? And he says that, look at the land of Canaan that I will give unto the children of Israel. And so we go on down here and he selects a bunch of people and says in the 16th verse, these are the names of the men which Moses sent to spy out the land. All right. And he also called Hosea, the son of Nun, which Jehoshua. And Moses sent them to spy out the land of Canaan and said unto them, get you up this way southward and go up into the mountain. See the land what it is and the people that dwell therein, whether they be strong or weak or few or many. And look over the land there and see what it's all about. And so on down through these verses here, they went in and they looked at all the incredible things there and looked at them. And they came on back, and it says in the 25th verse, and they returned from searching of the land after 40 days. And they went and came to Moses and to Aaron, to all the congregation of the children of Israel, unto the wilderness of Paran, to Kadesh, and brought back word unto them and unto the congregation, and shewed them the fruit of the land. And they told them and said, we came unto the land whither thou sentest, and surely it floweth with milk and honey, and this is the fruit of it. Everything the Lord said about this land, we walked through it, and look at this. It's exactly what he said it was. Nevertheless, what do you mean nevertheless? God said he's going to give you this land. Where did nevertheless come from? Do you have faith to believe? If you have faith to believe, do you know when you're tempted to say nevertheless? Another way we might say is, I know, but this is the situation. You know, that's the moment we need to stop and say, wait a minute. God said he was going to give it to us. Why is this word here in my vocabulary at this point? Because you're right. Look at all this. You're right. There's some things there. But the Lord promised he would give it to me. You know, the Lord's promised you that he would meet every need you have, that he would help you, that he would strengthen you. Nevertheless, Lord, help us not to let that be part of our vocabulary. But it was. It was part of theirs. And they said, nevertheless, the people be strong that dwell in the land. The cities are walled and very great. Moreover, we saw the children of Anak there. And the Amalekites dwell in the land on the south. The Hittites, the Jebusites, the Amorites dwell in the mountains. The Canaanites dwell by the sea and by the coast of Jordan. And Caleb stilled the people before Moses and said, let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it. What was the difference? Caleb had it settled. The Lord said he was going to give it to us. You're right. They're huge giants, but God's bigger. God's got a bigger army. God's got more power. You're right. There's big giants in my life. There's big things in front of me. But guess who has more power than all those things? And guess who's promised to help me to overcome? Be not, what does it say? Be not, in the world you will have trouble. But be not afraid, I think is how it puts it. I have overcome the world. Well, which part of it, Lord? The part that looks easy to take and the part I can handle on my own? Yeah. But guess what? All the rest of it as well. Everything that I might face in my life. The Lord has power to overcome it. You know, that's so important to my faith, because there's going to be moments where it seems like to me he's not. He's not making the path easy. Lord, if you could overcome this, then why are you not doing it? So is that a question of his capability? Or am I saying, Lord, help me to understand. I know you have power. So if you're choosing not to, there's a reason why you're not. Lord, help me to have faith, to believe. All right? And all the people, it gets on down here, and they brought an evil report. And it says, 14th chapter, first verse, all the congregation lifted up their voice and cried, and the people wept that night. And the children murmured against Moses and Israel. They decided to make a captain in the fourth verse and return to Egypt. Moses and Aaron fell on their faces. And Joseph and Caleb, that were part of them that went and searched the land, and they spake unto the people, saying, we can do this. If the Lord delight in us, then he will bring us into this land and give it to us, a land which floweth with milk and honey. Only rebel not ye against the Lord, neither fear ye the people of the land, for they are bread for us, and their defense is parted from them. And the Lord is with us, fear them not. But all the congregation bade stone them with stones. You know, this is where the Lord said, okay, you're not coming in. You're not coming in. I had this land. You saw it. You saw everything I had for you, and you chose not to believe. You didn't have to know how I was going to do it. Who there knew how he was going to take care of Jericho? Nobody knew he was going to make the walls fall down. But they knew they were serving a God that was able to do all things. They should have taken that in by faith. And they would have walked right in, but they didn't. Lord, help us not to fall after the same example of unbelief. And we don't have to, because we're going to touch on this verse later, but I want to bring it up now. There was a father who had a son that was sick and needed help. And it didn't seem like he was getting help. And Jesus looked at him and said, all things are possible if you can believe. And he said, Lord, I believe, but help my unbelief. Do you know he's even willing to help you if you are struggling with faith to believe or any of the other things that we put up here. We've got four other things hopefully we're going to get through today. The Lord is willing to help you, but he wants you to know that this is what he wants you to pursue in your life. The faith to believe. The faith to accomplish what is before you. And to be able to believe in the Lord and let him do that. Let's go to our next one. The faith to trust. Are you willing to have the faith to trust? You know what part of faith is when you struggle with these things, not throwing your hands up, but looking to a God who can give all things richly and upbraideth not. But there's a verse in Proverbs, the third Proverbs, third chapter, a very famous verse, and a good one to be famous. One we can lean on a lot. It says, the third chapter and the fifth verse, trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not to thine own understanding. And I know we've read this verse so many times, and maybe you've even looked into what this word means. But this Hebrew word here, trust, it means, the old word that they'll put in there is to hide for refuge. Now, I didn't know what high meant when I looked at it, but it means to hasten. It means to run. It means that when I have a situation, do I stand here and try to hold the walls back? Or do I realize the need I have and I run to the Lord? I want you to think about a story in the Bible. If you want to look at it, and we may turn over there. Let's go ahead and turn over and read it. Mark the fourth chapter. This is a story of the disciples in the boat. In Mark 4, in the 35th verse, all right, it says, and when the same day, when the evening was come, he, Jesus, said unto them, let us pass over to the other side. And when they had sent away the multitude, they took him, even as he was in the ship, and there were also with him other little ships. And there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship so that it was now full. And he was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. And they awake him and say unto him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? And he arose and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, peace be still. And the wind ceased, and there was great calm. We don't see where they even had to bail out the boat. Now, I wonder if they had to bail it out or not. That's really beside the point. But he then turned to them and he said, why are ye so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? What do you mean, Lord? We were about to go under and you were sleeping. Well, how long did it take you? The boat filled up with water. How long did it take for them to turn and wake Jesus up? I don't know, but don't you think that should have been the first thing they did? We want to have that kind of faith that we're not sitting here struggling until all of a sudden the boat's full of water. We're like, Lord, have mercy. Don't you care that I'm not falling? Because there's another thing in what they said, and I believe it's why he said it as well. It seems like they were still trying to hold the boat together. And they were turning around saying, Lord, don't you care that we perish? And how many times are we in these situations where we're still just trying to hold something together and we're fussing at the Lord? That's what I'm saying. It's very possible that what they were doing here was actually fussing at God. They still weren't really just running to him and saying, look what's going on. What do we do? Their first reaction should have been to say, Jesus, help us. Jesus, help us. But then It's like they were still trying to hold it together, and it was more of a fussing at the Lord instead of putting their hands down, realizing, Lord, I don't know why you've let this boat fill with water, but could you help us out? What is it that's going to happen here? Lord, show us. It's not even that you have to, God, are we fixing to all swim to shore? What is it that's fixing to happen, Lord? A trust, a running, a stop trying to hold the situation together. Stop looking at the situation and looking at God with the voice of saying, why are you letting this happen? It's in our lives daily, before the situations even happen, just resting in the Lord, trusting Him. Well, Lord, I wonder if they'd have had the right, if their faith had been where it needed to be, if the Lord would have ever pretended to be sleeping. I don't know. Maybe He wasn't pretending, but I have this confidence. I think He knew what was going to happen. I think He knew what was going on. Maybe He didn't, but I believe He did. But what about their faith? Lord, help us to have one where we rest. Lord, I don't know why you're letting me get wet. I don't know why you're letting water in the boat, but all right, you know. Lord, is this going to be a swim to shore? Lord, I know whatever. Lord, are we about to perish? Lord, if we're with you, that's all that matters. We know that you have it in your hands. Do I have the faith to trust Him like that? Lord, I don't have to be disturbed in my spirit. I know you have the whole world under your control. And in a moment, you can say, peace be still. And it can't hardly talk about this without remembering the song that said, sometimes He calms the storm, and sometimes He calms the child. So, Lord, what are you going to do? It's not an easy situation. And it's one I found myself in and feel like I've had struggles here. But the Lord can help us. He can help our faith to grow where we can rest in Him in these kind of situations. Do we have faith to follow? Faith to follow. You know, in Mark, the 14th chapter, Mark 14 and the 26th verse. This is the story. The Lord is about to be offered on the cross. And He said, when they had sung a hymn, they went out into the Mount of Olives. And Jesus saith unto them, all ye shall be offended because of me tonight. For it is written, I will smite the shepherd, and the sheep shall be scattered. All will be offended. Where it is written, I will smite the shepherd, and the sheep shall be scattered. You know, this is what happened. When they came to the garden, and Peter pulled that sword out at first, and then the Lord said, don't do that. They all ran. They all scattered. There's something here the Lord left with them. And I think He knew this was going to happen. You know what the best thing would have been is if they all had the faith to just follow Jesus right then. If they all had that faith and could have just walked with Him and said, you know what? You're taking, and guess what? We're following. We're going to be right here. This is our Savior. This is our leader. That's the faith they should have had. But the Lord knew what was about to happen, and He left something with them. And He said, you're going to all be scattered tonight because they're going to smite the shepherd and you're going to run. But after that I am risen, I will go before you into Galilee. You know, there's just something too precious here, and I hope we can get a hold of it. The Lord knew they should have had the faith to walk with Him, but He also knew they were going to have a struggle, and they were going to run in this time. And He didn't waste a single word upbraiding them. He said, you're going to get through this, and you're going to all come back, and you're going to follow me. And they did, every single one of them. They got through it, they came back, and they followed Him to the death. You know, this morning, if I've had some struggles with my faith, the Lord's not looking to upbraid you. But He does want you to have the victory over that in your life. He wants you to be able to come back together and follow Him to the death, if that's to death. Whether it's a death of a martyr, or it's just death here on earth. And and we go to heaven. Whatever the case may be, the Lord wants you to have this faith to follow. And he's willing to say, I'll go before you into Galilee. I'll go before you. When you get through this time, I'll help you. You'll get the victory. And you know, these people did just that. Every one of the disciples came back and they followed him unto death. Luke, the 9th chapter. And the 23rd verse. And he said to them all, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, but whosoever will lose his life for my sake and the same shall save it. You know, this was their struggle, their crisis of faith, but the Lord helped them and they got the victory. They ran because they were afraid to lose their life. But you know, when the Lord was able to get them back together and they were able to get the victory over this, they walked on the other side of this thing. They walked willing to lose their life that they might gain it eternally. You know, that's the call to us, is to take up our cross. What does it mean by that? It means I die to the world and its pleasure. I die to who I am. I die to the hopes I have for this life, that I might follow Christ wherever he leads me. Because the end result of where he's leading me, whatever it goes through, is heaven. That's where he's taking me. And the only path there is through him and to follow him. Do I have the faith to follow this morning? You know, another one, do I have the faith to obey? Can't hardly think about this part of the story without thinking about Abraham, but before we talk about him, there's a verse in Romans I wanted to gather here with this. Romans, the 10th chapter, and the 16th verse. It says, but they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah saith, Lord, who hath believed our report? So then faith come by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So as the word of God goes out and we hear it, there's yet one more part that has to happen. Do we have the faith to obey it, to follow it? You know, Abraham was 75 years old when the Lord told him, leave where you are and go and basically wander in this land, and I will make of you many nations. All nations shall be blessed in you. You know, it was 25 years later before he received that promise. I know some of us have looked at that, thought about that. 25 years of obeying God, of just doing what he said, of being willing to leave what he had and come out after the Lord. You know, it talks about that in Hebrews, the 11th chapter, and it says, Hebrews 11, and the 8th verse says, by faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed, and he went out, not knowing whither he went. By faith, he sojourned in the land of promise. By faith, he obeyed this morning. And you know, it cost me something to obey the Lord. The return is well worth it. The return, Abraham was father of the faithful. The Lord, he received the promise. The Lord did a lot of things through Abraham, and he was blessed. But it took him having the faith to obey. When the Lord told him something that was contrary to the way that he was living his life at the moment, it took him being willing to obey that and to go out and follow, trust, believe. It all starts wrapping up together in this. But it took that for him to go. You know, to obey means to hear under, to listen attentively, to heed or conform to a command or authority. Am I able to do that this morning? To have faith, to allow my life to be conformed to who God is. Lord, help us. Finally, do we have faith to endure? You know, it says in There's a lot of places we could kind of look at verses, but in 2 Thessalonians, Second Thessalonians 1:4, it says, "So that we ourselves glory in you and the churches of God for your patience and faith in all your persecutions and tribulations that ye endure." If you look, there's some verses that point out in Acts, the 17th chapter, it talks about some of the persecutions that they went through. But the main point I want to say is they were persecuted by their countrymen and by the Jews. They were catching it on all sides. And they were living amongst a people that when Paul went to the next town, those people who were persecuting them went and persecuted there. Some intense persecution because they chose to believe in Christ. You know, 2 Timothy, the 3rd chapter here. Paul was writing to Timothy and he said, in 2 Timothy 3 and the 10th verse, says, "But thou hast fully known my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, patience, persecutions, and afflictions, which came unto me at Antioch, at Iconium, at Lystra, and what persecutions I endured. But out of them all the Lord delivered me. Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ shall suffer persecutions." All that will live godly. You know, this is the path. It doesn't mean we go out and that every day we're going to be facing persecutions. But there's choices we make to live different than what the world's going to live. And they're not going to make those choices. And do you know that as you do that and the light of God shines, there's going to be people who see that and their hearts are going to be touched. And they're going to want to come after. They're going to want to know more. You know what? There's going to be other people who are going to persecute you for what you're doing. And maybe it's not with whips and all these kinds of things. But there's a measure of that. Are you willing to have faith to endure? Because you can walk a lot of ways and you get to those borders where that dark cloud of persecution kind of hangs to whatever degree it hangs. Peer pressure, whatever it might be. And you can shrink in those moments if you're not willing to endure. You're not going out there to try to make a point. But there's a way we have to live our life. And at points in life, as we live our lives the way God calls us to, there's measures of persecutions that come. Just things contrary. People not saying, "Yeah, go ahead, live that way. That's great. That's wonderful." A lot of people say that. But some people don't. Some situations don't. Some places we find ourselves in don't encourage us. Are you willing to endure those places? Because all that live godly will face things like that. And it says, "But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But continue thou in the things that thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus." Do you know that you have what's necessary right now to help you? But if you don't endure some persecutions, you're going to let go of some things that the Lord has shown you. Lord, help us to hold on to what God has shown us in life. Whatever the cost may be, to be faithful to what He's shown us. Matthew 10:22. It says, "And ye shall be hated of all men for my name's sake." You know, I think here that we can get an idea that the whole world's just on top of me, and that's not what the Lord's trying to tell us right here. Because I don't know anybody except for Christ that day He was heading to the cross. And even there were people who still were not hating Christ. There was women who followed Him mourning for what was happening. All right? Whatever the case may be, what the Lord is trying to tell us here is everybody's not going to love you more than they love the life they want to live. There's going to be people who love the life they want to live more than they love the message that your life is bringing to them. And some of those people are going to be pretty close to you. And your life's going to affect them in a way where there's a struggle in your relationship. And it's hard to go through that. It's not easy to find people you love and have a struggle with them simply because you're trying to live for God and trying to do your best to walk humbly with Him. Now, if you're being all obnoxious about it, you're creating your own problem. But if you're just living for God and trying to humbly walk with Him, and you come in these situations, it's not an easy thing. It's the way it's going to be. There's going to be people who choose not to love the Lord more than they love this world. All right? But the Lord made you a promise. He that endureth to the end shall be saved. You know, that verse that I alluded to about the Father was in Mark 9:23. And it said, all things are possible to him that believeth, to him that hath faith. You know, I think there's a shallow understanding of that. May the Lord work with that. But this morning, I feel like that God has shown us the depths of what that means. Yes, all things are possible to him that believeth. If you're willing to have faith, the Lord can carry you through places of struggling to believe, struggling to trust, struggling to follow, struggling to obey, struggling to endure. He can lead you through all these places if you're willing to believe. All things are possible. Lord bless you.